Welcome to the Calder Farmstead, your place for news, analysis, and shenanigans from the American Hockey League.
Hello, hello, hello from Laval, Quebec, Canada.
And Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to the Calder Farmstead Podcast, episode 124 for January 12th, 2023. If you were hoping for a podcast featuring a walkthrough on installing heated water troughs, we are not going to be much help. This is an American Hockey League podcast. My name is Sean O'Brien from StatsTrack and the AHL's only league-wide analytics guy.
And I'm Sarah Avampato from Full Press Hockey and SB Nation's Canes Country.
And as always, we thank you for tuning in with us. If you're new to hearing Sarah and I talk about hockey, we're going to talk about the 2023 All-Star rosters, which were released on Wednesday the 11th. We had a different show planned, and then that dropped, and we're like, yeah, we probably should spend the show doing this instead of waiting till All-Star weekend, in which this has already been done by everyone. So let's get in on it while it's hot. But we both watch a lot of AHL games, and we're going to talk about what we see when we watch the film, as well as use some advanced stats to help us break it down. If that's new to you, you may want to head over to our YouTube channel or podcast feed, wherever you're listening to us from, and check out episode zero. It's a short primer on some of the stats we're going to be talking about, as well as how we view what's important on the ice. So if you're new to some of the more advanced hockey stats terms, like PDO or the point shares model, or newer hockey terms like controlled zone entries or Royal Road, go check that out, so you better be able to pick up what we're putting down. I promise it's not that nerdy or technical. It's only 20 minutes. And let's be honest, you wasted 20 minutes believing that TCU was for real. You'll never get that time back. So next time, why not spend a little more time with us talking hockey? So right off the bat, the theme of the show here is the All-Star rosters. They were released Wednesday, and you know, there's, as always with any All-Star selection, there's debate, discussion, snubs. They put that guy in? So we're going to engage in that a little bit today. But first, before we get into the division rosters, we need to talk about this captains thing that the AHL does. In case you guys are unaware, the AHL selects like honorary captains, which are usually, you know, city-themed or host-themed or, you know, some way to honor guys who are important to the city in the past. And that's completely fine. That makes perfect sense. And then there are the playing captains, which are appointed separate from all of the rest of the team. And they are not appointed for their necessarily all-star ability or their merit. Is more of a leadership and service to the game. The official release here says that they are chosen. Captains for the American Hockey League All-Star teams are selected by the league president. So that would be Scott Housen. Each year in recognition of their outstanding leadership and service. I have no idea why the AHL does this. Sarah, do you?
No, it like there's not like lead. There's not even like real criteria. This is like the Mark Messier gives an award to people under his own name because he feels like it award. Like they just needed to shove more people in here. Like no disrespect to the guys who were named, but eh.
Yeah, like, I mean, I like Gabriel Dumont. I think he's a good player. I'm not as high on Brian Lashoff, but like, I feel like the All-Star game, an appearance there should be something you're honored by. Like, if you wanted to honor dudes for their outstanding leadership and service, make your own Mark Messier mm-hmm. Awards. You know, call it the, I don't know, let's think of, what's the Sutter that's the captain of the Calgary Wranglers?
Brent
Sutter. Yeah. Call it the Brent Sutter Award when he retires, you know, yeah. in 10 years and like make that award. Like, this feels very ham-fisted of like, we need to put somebody who's good in the room in this room full of all-stars. How are they going to know unless they have leadership? I really don't understand. And like, this isn't new. The AHL's, it seems like it's new because we haven't had an all-star game since the last Olympics. But, you know, it's feels very silly. Like, especially too, it's like if they would have chosen guys who you could definitely like squint at and be like, okay, they probably would have been named an all-star in their own right. That is not Gabriel Dumont or Brian Lashoff this year. Dumont's having a down year, and Lashoff is more of a gritty, like penalty kill guy. He's not an all-star, which makes this game feel like the all-star classic plus two guys who are good in the room. And I just, I don't understand the point of it. Like, they should scrap that. So our all-star teams that Sarah and I select will not have any of that nonsense. We're not big at leadership at the star, the game that is specifically for just the stars. It is all stars. Especially too, like, what is Brian Lashoff going to do in the like skills competition?
Hit things.
Can there be
a penalty killing skill competition? That, you know, that's about it. Like when you were talking about how like they named the like not celebrity all stars, but you know the honorary captain people. You know, like I was thinking, they could do something similar with the players of pick two players from that region. You know, they could have picked two guys who came from, you know, Quebec or something as their honorary playing captains or something. It's going to get harder when you have it in like, you know, not hockey hotbeds, but like it'd be more interesting than these are two guys who we wanted to send because people like them.
Yeah. And I mean, is anyone going to the All-Star game because Brian Lashoff is going to be there? No offense to him. Honestly, Brian Lashoff, of all people, is probably like, crap. Now, instead of spending a week, you know, a weekend off with my family on vacation, I have to go to Laval. Like, Laval's a nice city, but like, he would rather be doing nothing with it, like spending time with his kids and stuff right now, as opposed to doing this. It's whatever. Here we are. All right. Let's kick it off here. Let's start, as we always do, east to west, Atlantic to Pacific. Let's talk about the guys who actually made the real All-Star game with this handy graphic that the AHL chose. It looks almost like it was a failed Dexter poster, but we're going to go with it.
Yeah.
So, and they also decided to put guys in like random order on here too. It's not like forwards, defensemen, goalies, which is how ours are organized.
It's not even alphabetical.
Nope. It's not even alphabetical by team. Oh, no, it is. It is alphabetical by team.
By city.
It's alphabetical by team city. That is a very silly way to organize.
Yes, that's obnoxious.
Yeah, I don't know why you did it that way. All right, so in their readings, I'm going to read it forwards, defenseman, goaltender. So the graphic is on the screen, but all right, for the forwards for the Atlantic, Riley Nash from the Charlotte Checkers, Will Cooley from the Hartford Wolfpack, Ethan Frank from the Hershey Bears, Mike Vecchione from the Hershey Bears, Tyson Forrester from the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, Vinny Letteri from the Providence Bruins, and Matthew Highmore for the Springfield Thunderbirds. On defense, Samuel Bolduc from the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, Cam York from the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, Xavier Ouellette from the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, and in goal, Joel Hofer from Springfield and Brandon Bussey from Providence. All right. Let's just read through all of them first, and then we will talk about them. Let's do mine next. So my all-stars, Chris Terry from the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, Riley Nash from the Charlotte Checkers, Mike Vecchione from the Bears, Artem Anisimov from the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, Martin Furk from the Springfield Thunderbirds, and Alex Nylander from the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. On defense, I have Zach Jones from Hartford, Mike Riley from Providence, Lucas Carlson from Charlotte, and Samuel Bolduc from the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. In nets, I have Brandon Bussey from Providence and Dustin Tokarski from Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Sarah's team includes Mike Vecchione from the Hershey Bears, Riley Nash from the Charlotte Checkers, Alex Nylander from the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, Chris Terry from the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, Martin Furk from the Springfield Thunderbirds, and Artem Anisimov from the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. On defense, she has Andy Walensky from Hartford, Samuel Bolduc from Bridgeport, Connor Carrick from Providence, and Lucas Carlson from Charlotte. In net, she has Brandon Bussey and Zach Fucali. So a good amount of overlap with Sarah and I. Also, the other thing that's weird, too, that the AHL did for a reason I don't understand is for the rest of the divisions, they named 6 forwards, 4 defensemen, 2 goalies. That makes sense. For the Atlantic, they named 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 2 goalies. Okay. I don't know why, but that is what they did.
I swear they just couldn't find a fourth defenseman who wanted to go. Like, they had their guy in mind. He said no, and they're like, well, crap.
Yeah, there is.
That's the only thing I can think of. Like,
yeah, that very well could be. Let's talk about some differences, though. Most of our forwards kind of overlap pretty well here. The AHL sent Will Cooley as their Hartford representative. I sent Zach Jones. Sarah, you sent Andy Walensky. I sent Zach Jones, even though he's not leading the team in points for defensemen, he's pretty clearly their best overall performing player right now. And I'm a big fan of Zach Jones. I'm surprised the Rangers don't want to keep him up there, but the Rangers and developing young guys, it's not exactly a peanut butter and jelly situation. It's more like a wine and carpeting kind of situation. So yeah. I stand by it. Zach Jones, I think, is one of their best defensemen. Sarah, what was your logic for picking Andy Walensky?
So for ones that I just in general, my philosophy towards picking players where there wasn't an immediately obvious choice was I kind of leaned towards the like old guy without a cup kind of theory of you've been around forever. Like, let's give you something to do, even though, like you were saying, they probably want to be sitting at home with their kids. But, you know, whatever, this is fake. So I go with like old guy without a cup kind of theory. I go with ones that just entertain me. But Andy Walensky kind of falls under that previous category of, you know, he's been around forever. He's the leading scoring defenseman for Hartford. And realistically, looking at Hartford's roster and trying to pick someone was a challenge because I learned while looking at this that no one on Hartford has more than 19 points in like 30 some games.
Yeah, and we've talked about how they've been snake bitten as a team, and that's definitely changed in the last, you know, 10 days or so. Like, they've had a pretty good January so far this season. They just beat, was it Charlotte, 5-0 the other night in not like a fluky, oh, how did that go? Like, they beat the crap out of Charlotte. But yeah, they've definitely struggled to produce on the score sheet a bunch. For me, goaltending was pretty easy. It was Bussey Dakarski. Mm-hmm. Hofer's a good choice. I think that's fine. But like Dustin Dakarski has carried Wilkes-Barre Scranton to relevance. I think if I had, Dakarski hadn't been such a stalwart of that team, like Louis Domingue was a decent choice. Like, he at least got some consideration for me as Hartford's representative. But it was like, no, Zach Jones actually, like, I felt like belonged the most in terms of like who stands out among their peers. And I could not put Bussey and Dakarski. Like, the two of them have just been lights out all year from the Atlantic Division side. The one that I was surprised by that got chosen was Xavier Ouellette. Like, he's quietly had a very productive, productive year so far. Same with Cam York. Although I feel like both of them have been good. Like, Bolduc's put up numbers, but his defense has still been a little shaky. Mike Riley hasn't played as like his body of work isn't big, but he's been amazing in it. That was why I picked him for mine. I don't know. Lucas Carlson, it feels like we all kind of, you and I at least agreed on. He's had a really good year, but like, I don't know. Cam York, especially too, giving Lehigh Valley Cam York and Tyson Forrester felt a little aggressive. Although, I feel like too, for the AHL All-Star game, it seems like they tend to lean more towards like prospecty guys as opposed to like, I thought Artem Anisimov is clearly the best player in Lehigh Valley right now. Yeah. And that's why I picked him. Like, don't get me wrong. I love me some Tyson Forrester. I like Cam York a lot, but like Artem Anisimov is why that team is moving up in the rankings, is moving up in the standings right now, as opposed to anyone else on the team. Any other like surprising kind of additions, subtractions here?
I will say for goaltending. So my third criteria for why I put up, like I picked a guy, is they had to be actively on the roster, and Dustin Tokarski is up in Pittsburgh right now. And so I wanted to pick him, but I had to keep with the same philosophy throughout my whole, there's one exception and we'll get to it later. But I was like, well, if I told myself I'm committing to only picking guys who are on the active roster right now, I can't pick Dustin Tokarski. So then I needed another goaltender and I picked Zach Fucale. But that's why he's my omission. And why, when we look at some of mine, there might be guys who you're like, why is that person not on yours? And it's because he's in the NHL. Good for him.
I took kind of a like the actual game is like a month from now. Yeah. I expect him to be back in Wilkes-Barre Scranton by that time. So yeah. I see you have a point there, but I kind of went with like the, as long as I know they are not actively like seriously injured or right. like their call up is clearly going to be a long-term thing.
Yeah.
I kind of went for it anyway, but I respect that.
Yeah. I had to give myself rules.
Yeah. The one that surprises me the most out of the Atlantic is they went with Matthew Highmore, which, that's not a wrong choice per se, mm-hmm, but like but. When you think about this from the, what can we do in the skills competition thing? Like mm-hmm. Martin Furk was right yeah. there.
Yeah.
Like, and both of them are, you know, like close to each other. It's not like Martin Furk is having a bad year and Matthew Highmore right. blowing it up. Like both are having good years. So why did you deny us another shot at Martin Furk, 109 mile an hour, slap shot, hardest shot?
Yeah. Or that was like the most viral the AHL has ever gone. Yeah. I don't know why you would like deny yourself the chance to have that happen again.
Yeah. Not to mention too, like it was once and it felt fluky. Like don't get me wrong. I believe it. Like I believe yeah. it went that fast, but it felt like he has a super hard shot, but like 3 miles an hour, was it faster than Zdeno Chara's mm-hmm. hardest shot? That one, I want to see him do it again. That's I mentioned too. Like it's going to look way cooler in kilometers per hour. I mean,
yeah.
it's going to look
yeah.
like triple the score. So definitely you should have put Martin Furk in there.
Right.
I am assuming they're going to do it in kilometers per hour. Like
I hope so.
Otherwise Canadians who are in the audience are going to be like, what? Breaking out their calculator. Like what is that in real speed? The other, yeah. Let's see, are there any others that I was kind of just like Vinny Lissieri's fine. I thought there were other forwards that are a little more deserving. Same with Ethan Frank, but I think that's like a reasonable, they made mostly reasonable choices in the Atlantic. Martin Furk and Martin Furk and Joel Hofer aside. Like I don't know. I like Joel Hofer, but
yeah,
that's the Karski. Or, I mean, if you take your perspective of it, then yeah, I guess Fucale is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the North Division here. The AHL's official North Division All-Stars. For forwards, Igor Sokolov from the Belleville Senators, Anthony Richard for the host Laval Rocket, Brandon Biro from the Rochester Americans, Alex Barré-Boulet from the Syracuse Crunch, Gabriel Dumont as the captain named for leadership and service for this from the Syracuse Crunch, Logan Shaw from the Toronto Marlies, David Juracek from the Cleveland Monsters, Justin Barron from the host Laval Rocket, Darren Radish from the Syracuse Crunch, and Noel Hofenmeyer from the Toronto Marlies on D. In net, Joseph Wall and Nico Dawes from the official AHL graphic that is poorly organized over here. My All-Stars went a lot of carryover. I also had Anthony Richard, Brandon Biro. I had Alex Barré-Boulet, which they did as well. I had Logan Shaw, which is another copy. I had Igor Sokolov, also a copy. So we're agreeing a lot here. And then I went Trey Fix-Wolanski from the Cleveland Monsters. That was a surprising snub for me. Darren Radish from Syracuse, David Jurisic from Cleveland, Noel Hofenmeyer from Toronto. And then I went Shimon Nemec from Utica. In net, I have Mads Sogard from Belleville and Nico Dawes from Utica. Sarah, on your all-star roster, you went with Semyon Dargachinsev, from Toronto, Graham Clark from Utica, Brandon Biro from Rochester, Angus Cruikshank from Belleville, Tony Rick from the host Laval Rocket, and Alex Bariboulet from Syracuse. You had Darren Radish from Syracuse, David Urisic from Cleveland, Noel Hofenmeyer from Toronto, and Trevor Carrick from Syracuse. In net, you have Nego Dawes from Utica and Malcolm Subban from Rochester. All right, Sarah, right away, Trevor Carrick. Was this the old guy without a cup?
Yes. Kind of? Yes. Also, it entertained me. And also, my plan was I forgot that Sam Carrick isn't in the AHL. I think he's up with the Ducks right now or whatever team he plays with, because I wanted to get the brothers, but the plan failed me and I wasn't able to do it. And then I was like, fine, we're going to leave them. But yeah, kind of the, like, you know, been around forever, kind of a stalwart of the league, and I needed a body. So that was my body.
That's fair. No love for Shimon Nemec from Sarah.
I gotta make some, like, controversial hot take picks.
Yeah. I will say the controversial hot take pick that the AHL made was Joseph Woll. Like, that dude has played 8 games. He doesn't even show up as a qualified goaltender on the AHL stats page. And, like, don't get me wrong, he's been great in 8 games, but it's still 8 games. Like, that is not a big enough body of work for you to merit consideration here.
Yeah. And, like, I had wanted to pick him for my other goalie. And then I looked and I was like, you haven't been here.
Yeah. So,
like, I couldn't justify 8 games. That could be anything.
Yeah. It's not like he has a giant body of work. You'd be like, well, but, like, we know this is who he is. Like, if Troy Grosnick had the same exact season so far, I'd feel a little more justified. But, like, Joseph Woll does not have that. And going on 8 games, that's certainly a choice.
Yeah.
The other one, too, is Justin Barron, which I suppose, you know, Laval's the host. You want to try and cram as many dudes as you can in there. And, like, Barron's had a reasonably okay season, and he's definitely a big prospect for the Rocket, and the Rocket have not been good this year, so you know, picking easy winners from them, it was challenging. But, like, I don't know, like, Laval gets to see him every time, you know, he plays. I feel like you didn't need to gift him that one, especially because, like, Simone Nemec has been good. I felt like he deserved a chance to go and to shine. Snubbing Trafix Wolanski, though, I mean, I guess because you have to shoehorn Gabriel Dumont in there. Like, that's the kind of thing that this process does. It's like, yeah, but Trafix Wolanski's, you know, had a great season. Gabriel Dumont is not. Could we not have just, like, made Darren Radish the honorary captain guy and everyone would have been happy then? Like,
The other thing, leadership.
Too, leadership. The other thing, too, that was actually hard is once you took Joseph Woll out of this, finding goaltenders in the North is challenging.
Yes.
Like, I was like, okay, come on. There has to be somebody that's, like, I looked up Nico Dawes' numbers for the first time in a while, and it's like, he's had a surprisingly, like, pedestrian season. Like, he hasn't been bad, but, like, I think he's, what, a 905 right now for save percentage? That's not great. It's not really something you're jumping up and down about, but, like, then you remember, oh, that's right. Nobody in the North knows how to play defense, how to kill penalties.
Like, whenever I was looking for goalies, I, you know, was just looking at stats and sorting by, you know, save percentage, goals against average. And I feel like I had to go to, like, the end of the second page to even find anyone from this division who I could pick who had played more than 8 games.
Yeah, it was not easy. And I was like, I guess we'll go Mads Søgaard. Like, Malcolm Subban was one that was on there too. And I was like, I don't feel great about any of these goalies.
No.
But two of them have to go. So here we are. It is funny that an entire division just has no goalies.
Like, nothing.
None. You just thought one just by default would have to have had a decent performance, but nope. None of them really rise to that level. It's, a little sad in some aspects, but it is amazing how much the North, like, pretty much sorts itself out. Like, Hofenmeyer, Urisic, and, I mean, Radish was an obvious one.
Yeah.
Byros had a is probably had the best season on Rochester, so he felt like an easy pick for their representative. Anthony Richard, the same. Sokolov, easy one too. Like, he's had a good season. Like, Jake Lucchini's had a good season too, but like, Sokolov's near point per game. Lucchini's a little bit under that, so like, he was a clear cut representative for them. Barry Boulay was one that I kind of like waxed and waned for, but it was like, well, then who else am I gonna, who has had a better season that I'm gonna put in?
Yeah.
Like, well, I've covered all of my representative bases, so now it's just best at large pick.
Yeah. And
I felt like he clearly deserved that. No Trey Fuchs-Wolanski for you either. You went Angus Krokshank.
He wasn't listed as active on the AHL's page. I went with Angus Krokshank because that is a really cool name. That was literally my criteria. But no, Trey Fuchs-Wolanski, had I not given myself the rule of must appear as active on the AHL's website, would have been my pick. But
oh, did he get called up again?
AHL's website is just lying, which is also possible because it's sometimes not right. But given the fact that everyone on the Blue Jackets is some varying stage of dead, I would be shocked if he wasn't up there again.
That's fair. Krokshank's at least, oh geez, I mean, plus minus is nonsense, but he's a minus 22.
Well, you know,
it's, you know, hard times.
Someone's got to do it.
I think he's still recovering from that knee a little bit. Like, yeah. I don't know if you remember this. He tore like some, I want to say ACL in his knee at like in training camp last year. And it seems like he's still working his way back from that a little bit. But he's a very slippery player. I like him a lot. Let's see. Who else? You went with Semyon D'Argachinsev too. That was, I mean, not a bad choice.
Yeah.
I think him doing the puck relay.
Yes. That's what I was thinking of, is putting him in one of the fancy shooting, fancy stick handling, do something cool things in the fancy games part of the All-Star game, the skills competition, that's the word for it. I thought could provide for some fun options. He doesn't have to play like defense or anything there. He can just do something cool.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's an All-Star game. No one's going to play defense.
No.
But except, I guess, maybe Brian Lashoff, but
he'd be like, "Hey guys, come on."
If they do like one of those like relay challenges where they have to go through like the obstacle course, I think he would be a good pick for that, especially when they do like the mini net passing thing.
Yeah.
Like that's an SDA kind of event.
Yeah.
So I could see that. It was hard for me though, cause I'm just like, yeah, but Logan Shaw has really done a lot.
Yeah.
Like that was the hard one for me, but I can at least live with that choice. That's, that's a good one. Yeah. If Anthony Richard, like, I honestly think Anthony Richard could put at least his name on the map with a fastest skater lap. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he could beat McDavid. Oh my God, his name escapes me. Played for Hartford last year. Guy with the fastest lap from like 2018. He beat McDavid's time. I could picture him in my head and I can't think of his name.
That guy.
That's going to bother me. Anthony Greco. Got it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, like, I think he could rival, or he could come close to Anthony Greco air. Like, that dude is fast. Brandon Byro, though, as much as he's had a good season, I have no idea what he would do in the skills competition. Like,
shoot things.
I mean, he's a good shooter.
Yeah.
But, like, he's more of a jack-of-all-trades and, like, work ethic guy than he is someone who's going to dance through three defenders and get on the highlight reel. So, he's definitely had the best season from Rochester so far, I think. It was either him or Ethan Proe, and Ethan Proe's been fine, and there were too many defensemen in this division that I felt like he did not merit it. But, yeah, Brandon Byro is a tough one for what he would do in the middle of the – in the skills competition. Man. All right. I think that's a good time to call a break here. We're almost at the 30-minute mark. So let's take a break here. After the break, we will get to our Central and Pacific Division All-Stars. If you're just here for the Eastern Division All-Star, Eastern Division's All-Star team, And this is your jumping off point. Thank you for stopping by. Don't forget to subscribe if you're listening to us from, so you get episodes in a timely fashion. That's kind of important. Is if you catch this in March, it's really not going to be very meaningful. Also check us out on social media. We have some fun there. We post some memes every once in a while. We have a contest or two. So links to our social media and more can be found at our Linktree page at linktr.ee/thecalderfarmstead. We're going to run some ads, pay some bills. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. And we are back from break. We are talking the Central Division All-Stars. The graphic is already up on the screen if you're watching us on YouTube. If you're listening to us, just imagine the graphic that would be there. From the AHL, breaking down the Central Division All-Stars. Let's talk about them. They are at forward, Sammy Walker from the Iowa Wild, Tommy Novak from the Milwaukee Admirals, David Gust, Lucas Reichel, and Brett Cini from the Rockford Ice Hogs, and Riley Barber from the Texas Stars. On defense, they went with Max Lajoie from the Chicago Wolves, Brian Lashoff as their named playing captain from the Grand Rapids Griffins, Declan Chisholm from the Manitoba Moose, and Thomas Harley from the Texas Stars. In net, they had Jesper Wallstadt and Yaroslav Askarov. There were some choices on that team. Let's talk about my all-star picks here. I went with Sammy Walker from the Iowa Wild, Riley Barber from the Texas Stars, David Gust, Lucas Reichel, and Brett Cini from the Rockford IceHogs, and Austin Zarnik from the Grand Rapids Griffins. On defense, I went with William Lodgeson from the Chicago Wolves, Leon Gavanka from the Manitoba Moose, Jordan Gross from the Milwaukee Admirals, and Thomas Harley from the Texas Stars. In nets, I have Anton Hudobin from the Texas Stars and Arvid Holm from the Manitoba Moose. On Sarah's side of things, she has Riley Barber from the Texas Stars, Phil Tomasino from the Milwaukee Admirals, Lucas Reichel from the Rockford IceHogs, Alex Limoges from the Manitoba Moose, Sammy Walker from the Iowa Wild, Austin Zarnik from the Grand Rapids Griffins. On defense, she has Antoni Hanka from the Chicago Wolves, Joe Hicketts from the Iowa Wild, Jordan Gross from the Milwaukee Admirals, and Thomas Nightrod Harley from the Texas Stars. In net, she has Matt Murray from the Texas Stars and Yaroslav Askarov from the Milwaukee Admirals. All right, first things first, we need to talk about this goaltending thing here. Jesper Wallstadt from the AHL. What? Like, I understand he's a big prospect. He's scored a goalie goal this year, but like, he has not had a better season than either of the Texas Stars goaltenders. Yeah. I went with Hudobin, who I thought had a slight edge over Matt Murray, but a fair choice in Matt Murray. Also, I could see Dobby not wanting to go.
Yeah.
But the other thing too is the rest of the Central Division struggle to pick like a goaltender because Chicago doesn't have goaltending.
No.
Rockford doesn't really have goaltending either. Manitoba, like I thought Arvid Holm was the next best choice, but that was like I was okay-ish with Askarov, but like I definitely thought there were more qualified candidates with that. I'm not mad about Askarov. I definitely thought Jordan Gross over Tommy Novak, though, for a second Milwaukee Admirals choice there, and you agreed with that one. We all had Thomas Harley. I'm really surprised they went Declan Chisholm over Leon Gavanka. You went Alex Limoges. Talk about that, Sarah.
I mean, I think he, at least last time I looked, was still their leading scorer. He's still kind of one of those, Brandon Bureau we were talking about earlier, also, you know, Penn State alums. Also, that gave him a couple extra bonus points in my book, too. But, you know, he's a guy who did well on the Gulls, but I feel like in Manitoba, he's being given more of an opportunity to show what he has and more of an opportunity to be the guy. And so just kind of recognizing that it looks like he's really stepped up his game this year.
That's fair. Also, I mean, he brings up the hair quotient of this as a former finalist for the Best Hockey Flow Award. Yeah. I'm really surprised. I guess like they took Brian Lashoff because it was like, well, we need a Grand Rapids Griffins guy, and we somehow didn't want Austin Zarnik.
Right.
Also, I'm surprised that you went just one Rockford IceHog. Like, I felt like that entire line. Basically, yeah. Like, how did you decide that it was Reichel over Sini and Gust?
Well, first off, I realized I broke my own rule because Lucas Reichel's up in the NHL right now. So we're just going to pretend that I didn't screw that up. I probably would have went for David Gust otherwise. That's just the way it shook out. I kind of went plan was I went through the standings, picked a guy from each team, and then circled back to the top of the standings to pick more guys. And I just ran out of spots.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tomasino, I feel like, is a good choice. He at least would be an entertaining one, especially for like some shootout moves or some of the like obstacle course relay races that we'll see at the All-Star game. I just felt like, I mean, that Gust Reichel-Sini line has just been such magic for Rockford this year that I couldn't not put them in.
Yeah.
Sammy Walker, unanimous choice. Riley Barber, unanimous choice. Like, if Sammy Walker wasn't the representative from Iowa, I really had no idea what they were doing. Right. Even with Joe Hicketts, though, as a second choice from Iowa. Let's talk about that for a second. How did you go with Hicketts over, like, Leon Kovanka? Who else was they put? Yeah, let's just talk about Hicketts there. What made you go with Joe Hicketts?
I think he's fun because he's small. And I needed another defenseman, and he won.
That's
fair. Also, his mom liked my tweet when I tweeted about him.
Okay, that's not an unreasonable choice then. I went William Lagesson, and I was like, oh, Sarah's definitely going with me on this. Like, who else from Chicago? Anthony Honka, your first choice was Multi-Stromlo?
Yeah, which would not have been my choice had you asked me like 3 weeks ago.
He's been super hot recently.
Yeah, so like he really, like the beginning of the season, he was very much a like every man for himself. I'm playing my game, like heck with the two other guys with me. But he's really kind of bought in to what the Wolves are doing, and it's just been on a real hot streak. So it's kind of like the recency effect for why I was going to go with him first. But then I realized I was out of spots for forwards. So I had to pick a defenseman. I went with Anthony Honka just because of the whole prospect angle. In his case, he's one of the better or more interesting prospects that the Hurricanes have on defense right now. He kind of flip-flopped because he had a really hot start to the season and then has kind of slowed down. But on a team with like no defense, you can see the progression in his game. From game one to now, and has just been kind of fun. But Lagesson, not the wrong choice.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was like, well, there's no one else on this team that like, but Hulk is not that far behind him in a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
So I can at least appreciate that one a little more, I guess, after you talked about it some. The one surprise for me here was Declan Chisholm too, over like, yeah, he's piled up more points, but like how many of those are second assists?
Mm-hmm.
Kavanka's putting pucks in the net directly. Like,
yeah,
that man has a cannon in his, what, seven goals on the season already, I think?
Yeah.
Let me check that real quick. I just saw it a minute ago. I was pretty sure he had seven goals. Yeah, seven goals, eight assists, 15 points on the season. Like, that's not quite the same as the three goals, 20 assists, but like, how many of those are secondary? I don't have an answer right now. Pick 224 doesn't have those updated, and I didn't dive into the every box sheet from 31 games to figure out how many they are myself. But like, I'm a bigger Leon Kovanka guy, especially because Vinny Heinola has not put in the time this year for body of work reasons, which super happy for.
Right.
At least getting NHL paychecks. That's one step closer to hitting on my bingo card of getting traded. But other than that, a lot of guys on Manitoba, it was like, Mikey Eisenman's been a point per game in 9 games. Alex Limoges has been good, but not quite. Like, he's cooled off a little bit.
Yeah.
Jeff Malott has 15 goals, which is nice, but only 6 assists. So that kind of brings him down a little bit. Because Manitoba has always been like a team by committee. So.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, a lot of other teams are a little more top heavy. Jordan Gross not getting the nod too. That was a wild.
Yeah, that was weird.
like, yeah, I think some of it too is just like, all right, who's leading the team in points? That's the guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, we need a defenseman. Who's leading the team in points for a defenseman? Oh, that's the guy. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. Tommy Novak has 26 points in 25 games. And that's good. Anytime you're above a point a game is good. Tomasino's 23 and 26. So in that neighborhood, but like Gross as a defenseman is almost a point per game.
Yeah.
And he's still doing Jordan Gross things that won him, you know, best defenseman from us last year.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you snub that dude. Maybe he said no.
Yeah. Possible.
It is possible. All right. Any closing thoughts on the Central here before we head out west?
I'm good.
All right. Let's go to the best coast, the West Coast, and talk about the Pacific Division. The All-Stars, as named by the AHL. At forward, Seth Griffith from the Bakersfield Condors, Matthew Phillips from the Calgary Wranglers, Andrew Polderowski from the Coachella Valley Firebirds, TJ Tynan from the Ontario Reign, Thomas Bortolo from the San Jose Barracuda, and Michael Carconi from the Tucson Roadrunners. On D, they had Christian Willanen from Abbotsford, Riker Evans from Coachella Valley, Brad Hunt from Colorado, and Daniil Miromanov from Henderson. In net, Dustin Wolf from Calgary and Lucas Dostal from San Diego. On my team, I went with Matthew Phillips, Andrew Polderowski, Michael Carconi, Thomas Bortolo, Seth Griffith, and then I went Lane Peterson from the Abbotsford Canucks. I also went Christian Willanen and Brad Hunt, but then I switched and went Jordan Spence from the Ontario Reign and Lucas Cormier from Henderson. I had the same goaltenders, Dustin Wolf and Lucas Dostal. Sarah, you went quite a few off-board choices there. You went with Polderowski and Phillips, but then went Elias Anderson from Ontario. Then you went Carconi and Bortolo, but went Sheldon Rempel from Henderson for forwards. On defense, you went to Christian Willanen, Jason Demers from Bakersfield, Nicholas Briard from San Diego, and Brad Hunt from Colorado. We all had the same goaltenders, Dustin Wolf and Lucas Dostal. We all kind of figured those were the two. I at least almost put Jonas Johansson in. Like, he's had a better season by the numbers than Dostal, but like nobody has had to suffer through like the deluge of scoring chances that Lucas Dostal has. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Jonas Johansson has played really well. He hasn't played better than Dustin Wolf by any measure. So that put him out. But it's like, I have to give the tie here to the guy who has a tougher work environment. And that's clearly Lucas Dostal. If I could have picked a third goaltender, it's Jonas Johansson without question, but somebody had to make the cut here. a couple of odd ones from the Pacific Division. Riker Evans. Riker Evans, I'm okay with, but I felt like there were other good choices. But Coachella Valley has like five guys that I was like, okay,
try
and sneak Max McCormick in here or Cole Lynn's. Like there were a lot of opportunities for them to sneak a second guy in. But the problem is I'm picking the same number of spots as the other division for a 10-team division. Like. Yeah. Only one team has two representatives on my roster, and that's Calgary. Everyone else is, single representation. So it's tough to, or no, I snuck Lane Peterson in there and Christian Willanen. But I mean, Lane Peterson too. It was like Lane Peterson or Cole Lynn, Lane Peterson or Max McCormick. And it was just like, I kept, Lane Peterson hasn't played as many games, but he's been such a huge, a huge part of why Abbotsford has been successful and continues to look like really good. Sarah, Elias Anderson was a choice. Let's hear about that. How did you?
He was. Well, first off, had I not stuck to my rule, mostly apparently, except for the ones I blew it on, of not currently up in the NHL, I would have picked Jordan Spence, but he's been going back and forth. But I think right now he's technically up. Elias Anderson kind of falls under the same sort of SDA category for me of put him in one of the cool like trick shot stick handling kind of things in the skills competition. You know, there's no silver medal for him to throw and get mad about or anything here. But no, I mean, he has been, you know, for a player who I'm sure is disappointed to be in the AHL, he has been, you know, remarkably solid for the Rain. He doesn't go in there and pout. Like, he just gets the job done. And so he was my, I figured I'd give him something nice.
Yeah. I mean, TJ Tynan was another one where I was just like,
yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong, he's had a good season. It hasn't been as good as previous years, right, which is fine. He, you know,
yeah, almost, he's still good.
Yeah, he's still very good. But it was like, I feel like Jordan's, like what Jordan Spence has done at the AHL level is a little more impressive than what TJ Tynan has done relative to their position and that kind of thing. So, like, that one was a close one for me. And I felt like, I mean, TJ Tynan has a trophy room from the AHL that's already getting pretty full. Like, he doesn't need this. I feel like Jordan Spence, you know, this would be a good moment for him.
Yeah.
Seth Griffith was another tough one. I almost went Michael Kesselring, and then it was like, okay, but am I taking Michael Kesselring over one of the other defensemen? Like, Brad Hunt's consensus pick. I think we all realized that.
Yeah.
I went Cormier over Daniil Mariamanov, and I was really surprised that I had to do that. Like, another, again, big Daniil Mariamanov fan, but like, and they're at least somewhat close in points. Cormier has 17, Mariamanov has 13. But like, I feel like overall, like in all three zones, Cormier has been a bit better of a player than Mariamanov has been. And that was what tipped my choice. Not to mention he scored. He's gotten the score sheet a little bit more, although Mariamanov has more goals. But I felt like that one was at least understandable. Christian Willanen, another one, like you couldn't do this exercise and not put Christian Willanen in there. Right. So it was like, does Michael Kesselring knock out either Cormier or Spence? And I couldn't quite come up with that one. Like, I think Kesselring has had a good season, but I also think too, I don't know how much I believe that some of the goals he scored are legitimate. I mean, he has 10 goals as a defenseman. Like, he is currently shooting, as I pull up the number here, 9%. That's super high for a defenseman.
Yeah.
So that kind of factored into it as well. I knew he was a bit on a bit of a shooting bender. Like, he's a good defenseman, but I don't know. I think that one, especially because his career high in goals before that was 2. So that one I'm not as a big a believer on. Sarah, what made you go Sheldon Rempel over one of the defensemen for Henderson there?
Because I had already kind of, I just felt like it. Mariamanov fell into my oops, he's in the NHL thing. I think he's been called up, or at least that's what it looked like. So I couldn't pick him. And I just, it's maybe a mea culpa for me at the beginning of the season, kind of being like, Sheldon Rempel, what's he doing this year? Sorry, Sheldon Rempel. You get to go to my fake all-star game.
That's fair. Jason Demers was a surprise pick. Like, I was not expecting that one from you. What made you go Demers over literally anyone else?
Because it was funny. That was literally my criteria. I needed someone from Bakersfield. All of my forward spots were filled. I certainly wasn't going to change my goaltenders, and that one made me laugh, and so I picked him.
Going for the Scott, what's his name? From the NHL All-Star game, that like the goon.
Yes. Yeah, I just want to be entertained.
What is his name? All the Scots I'm thinking of are politicians, and that's definitely not John Scott. There it is.
Oh, yeah. Similar vibe of I'm just entertained by this.
Okay, I can live with that.
Yeah.
Even you wrote in your notes here, Nicholas Briard, no, the goals do not deserve to send 2 to the All-Star game.
Yeah. That one, like, it kind of hurt me because I was like, what? I don't want to reward the goals for being so bad. But Briard has been, like, one of the only, like, entertaining players to watch on that really bad team. And so, similar to Dostal, of we are honoring your suffering, I figured I would honor his suffering too. I know he's a player that a lot of Ducks fans are excited about. And I just, you know, I'm sorry for everything they're experiencing. Here, have a fake All-Star game spot.
I mean, are Ducks fans excited about him? Or like, it, from a goals perspective, I mean, the All-Star game is perfect for Briard. He won't have to play defense, which he's very comfortable doing. Like, he does create offense, but my, whenever he's on the ice, one of the teams is very likely to score. Which one that team is, he's just like, some of the games I watch with him, it's just like, my God, just play. Yeah. He's a forward playing defense.
Right. Just play, let's just forward and be done with it.
But
it's fine.
It's, I guess that's okay.
Yeah, Michael, I feel Carcone, like I see a lot of Ducks fans like wanting to see him get called. Like, I think they're not looking at or seeing.
No, they're not.
He can't defend part. They're just seeing the offense part. And so like, yeah, we need more goals. Like, no, that's not the Ducks. I mean, they need more goals, but they also need to not have pucks in there. Like, he's not going to help you with one of the Ducks' biggest problems.
No, he's really not. Like, he is not an NHL player in the future. Or if he is, it's not a situation in which he should be an NHL player in the future. Some unanimous choices here. I mean, Phillips and Podorowski were obvious ones. Carcone, who else is going from Tucson? Right. Not just like Michael Carcone is what, the leading scorer in the league still.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely deserves to go, but like, if you weren't going to send Michael Carcone, who from Tucson is going? Thomas Bordalo is another one too, where it's like, I almost went with Agazino, and then I was like, it's fine. Yeah. Send Bordalo. Like, but that's another team too, that it was like, somebody from this team has to go to this game.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not? Carcone, I was glad had been, cause he had been up in the NHL and scored an NHL goal from Carcone Island. I was excited to see that. But I was glad he had been reassigned. Because if he hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to pick him according to my own arbitrary rules. And looking at their roster, I was like, welp.
Yeah, that's a...
Fortunately for me, he'd been reassigned.
Yeah, let's see who else is even on the Tucson roster. Because off the top of my head, like, I can't think of anyone who's like really having a good season over there. Prosvetov was started out really strong, and then his Jean-Sebastian... Yeah. Days had an okay season. Laurent defends at close to a point per game. So like, that's at least if someone else has to go, he has 46 points in 29 games. That's so insane.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And they're all the same goal.
Oh yeah, they are. They're all the same goal. Yeah. Laurent Dauphin was probably the next best choice. And he's at least like he's in the neighborhood of being worthy. So like, if you didn't have to send Carcone, it's definitely Dauphin. But yeah, other than that,
it was rough.
Victor Soderstrom, but like, how many? He has one goal and 17 assists, and I'm just like, how many of those 17 are secondary?
Yeah, like a lot.
Cam Dineen has 20. I really want to see some. Like, I really wish they would break out secondary assists as its own category. That would be so much easier, because then I could just see that Cam Dineen has like 15 second assists, and it would make this so much easier for me. All right, anybody else that is worth discussion here? I really like, I don't know, I Lane Peterson was like the last minute one, and it was like between him and a bunch of Coachella Valley guys, more Calgary Wranglers, like, and I just by a millimeter decided that Lane Peterson was my guy over that. But like, there are plenty of guys on Calgary who probably should get the spot in this. If we didn't have to do every team gets a representative, this surprisingly doesn't look that different. Like, Bordalo doesn't go. Cormier probably doesn't go, but that's it. The rest of the Pacific stays the same.
Yeah.
And you get like, maybe Max McCormick and Peltier from Calgary to go, and that would be it. But that would be the only really difference in the Central. Let's go back a little bit. If the Central wasn't, everyone has to have a representative.
I
I mean, yours would probably look the same. There's no one who got there because that team, well, Manitoba. Yeah. I still probably pick Leon Gavanki though, but you definitely don't take Limoges.
No.
In the North, I don't think I take Brandon Biro.
Yeah.
If I don't have to put a Rochester guy there, I don't think I take Biro. Sokolov still belongs, I think. Because at least he'd be somebody fun for the hardest shot competition. Mm-hmm. Or the accuracy shooting. He's a good shooter overall. Nobody from Hartford goes then.
That's fine.
That feels fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still Martin Furt goes, but
yeah.
God, how do they not send Martin? Like, that's just... That's really just
like maybe they asked him and he said no. Like that's the only thing.
It's gotta be like, what it is.
Like it had like, cause why would you not like, that still baffles me. Why would you not have the chance to get a second shot at that? Yeah, I think maybe his wife just had a kid. I know he had a kid at some point. Like maybe he just was like, I want to stay home with my child and my dog and not hit pucks. But like, come on, man.
I've been saying for years that the NHL should do specialists for the All-Star game for the skills competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like let Martin Furk come out and just, you know, slam pucks into oblivion for the hardest shot. You know, who's like an accurate shooter that doesn't make the All-Star game. I don't know about that. But like, oh my God. Andreas Athanasiou, bring him for the fastest skater.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, please let that dude race McDavid. That's the content I want to see.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like
that'd be too fun.
Oh yeah. And the NHL can't do fun things. Like it's, you can only hit like a 7 on the fun scale. You can never, you can never do 10.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. The whole thing would implode.
Yeah. Cause that's how, Trevor Zegras didn't win the like shootout competition. I will forever hold that against John. Yeah. Like, yes. I loved John Hamm, and now I only kind of like him. Like, I understand. Yeah. Petro's a man. He got you a cup.
But come on.
Come on.
Hometown bias and everything. Oh, like, come on.
That was horrible. Like, and the thing that was the worst is he holds up the, like, what is it, 14 or whatever it is.
Right.
And then they just like, yep, that's legitimate.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
You would have thought too, like the AHL having going to Laval, which is a very like not from my at least understanding, and I could be wrong about this. Like Montreal has, you know, everything's if you speak English, you'll be fine. But like Laval's a little more off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. Like it's still a major city, but not one that's as bilingual. It doesn't seem like so. I'm surprised they didn't, you know, put some emphasis on tiebreakers of like, oh, instead of sending Michael Marconi, we'll send Jean-Sebastien Day.
Right.
Or, you know, Laurent Dauphin, you know. Yeah. Well, I guess they have to send Carconi. He's the league's leading scorer. But they didn't find a way to like sneak in more, you know, French Canadians to this that were like, oh, you know, maybe we don't need to send a second. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. That would have been my thought. All right, Sarah, any closing thoughts on the All-Star rosters as a whole?
I'm just forever mad about Martin Furk. I'm going to die on this hill.
You should die on this hill. It has to be. He had to have said no. Which, like, also that makes me wonder, are we sure that the AHL is definitely asking guys, like, you're going to go if we select you, right?
Right, maybe. I mean, I feel like the AHL All-Star game, I feel like the rosters that exist today are going to be drastically different in like almost a month from now, because so many guys, like, I feel like they're just always changing the rosters, but like, they don't always add a new guy or they add just like someone random. It's very like, it's very chaotic.
It's like, it's been so long since an actual All-Star game has happened. Like, I don't even remember if that's a normal thing that like they named the roster a month in advance and then it's completely different from what actually shows up in the city. Is that like, it's been long.
I think that like they usually announce it fairly far in advance. It's just like there's always guys who get named and then between now and then they get called up to the NHL. And so, you know, you're like, well, we had this guy, you know, we had Lucas Dostal, but he's suffering with the Ducks right now. So let's pick someone else random. I feel like that's their biggest problem, is guys just don't exist in their system by the time the game comes around.
Which makes the question of, like, why are they announcing the rosters this far out? I mean, I guess marketing, but that's not a very good strategy if you're marketing guys who are then not going to show up.
Right.
Like, I don't know. That's the next time we get someone, you know, from the AHL front office on, we will ask them a little bit more about the process. I'm at least glad that, like, they either don't do a fan vote like the NHL does, or like, if they, at least the NHL, it's like, all right, last guy in, we're literally not going to let you pick anyone random. We're going to make sure you pick like a player that deserves to be there, because as much as the John Scott thing, you know, was fun, there are so many ways in which that could have gone.
Oh yeah.
And the NHL actively tried to stop it because they were worried about that. Like, it worked out for everyone involved, but.
Yeah. And they put, like, cause they're doing the fan vote thing again this year, and they, like, they're doing it so you can kind of vote for anyone on the roster, but they have put so many, like, stipulations on what qualifies someone. And if someone, if you vote for someone now, but they get sent debt, like, then they're not going to count. Like, there's so many rules. I'm like, you have just, like, rules lawyered the All-Star game, and you've taken the fun out of the fan vote. But I know why you had to do it, because you don't want John Scott 2.0. But
because I'm sure the next time that, you know, a John Scott thing happens, and like for years the NHL had things with this, because like before him it was like, is it Zemgus Girgins from the Sabres?
Yeah.
They tried, like, they were very close to getting to the All-Star game, or like a couple other, you know, like fourth line, third line guys that you know, trolls on the internet tried to send to the All-Star game to make a mockery of it. And it's just like, why don't you just restrict the list? Like,
all right,
you can't write in votes. It's, you get to write in, or you get to vote for like the top five guys in scoring on each on each team, or you know, the top scoring defenseman or two. And like that way, at least no matter what happens, you're at least getting somebody.
Yeah.
Or do it this way and don't let the fans vote and just pick just pick the teams.
Right. Here's your team. Enjoy it. Bye. Like.
Yeah. All right. I think that about wraps it up for us. Sarah, take us home.
Well, thank you all of you out there for listening and or watching the show, because that's it. We're done. The Calder Farmstead is a part of the Full Press Radio Network. You can listen to this and several other great hockey, sports, and sports entertainment programs, all at www.fullpresscoverage.com. Just click the podcast drop-down menu in the right portion, in the top right portion of the website, and enjoy.
And if you guys are enjoying the Calder Farmstead, please make sure you subscribe so you get episodes in a timely fashion. Also, if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, please rate and review the podcast. Or if you're watching it on YouTube, like the video and, you know, comment on the episode what you thought of it. Doing so helps others find the show, and your reviews help us improve it. You can also follow the show on social media at Calder Farmstead on Twitter and at The Calder Farmstead on Instagram and Facebook. Big thanks to Adrian Drake, who made our theme music. You can find him on social media at AD_dysfunction. That's AD_DYSFUNCTION, so we can make music for you too. Sarah, where can the people find you?
My name is still Sarah Avampado. You can find me representing Full Press Hockey on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. It's WRITE Said Sarah with an H. You can check out my writing at Full Press Hockey, where I talk about the Ontario Reign, or over at Kane's Country, where I talk about Chicago Wolves. Sean, where can folks find you?
I'm Sean O'Brien. You can find me on Twitter at Sean O'Brien 81. That's SEANOBRIEN81. I'm also on Instagram at Sean O'Brien _81. Both are personal accounts. My Instagram, not used as much. It's mostly dog pictures, a couple of random things, the world around me. My Twitter, slightly more active, although not as much in the past couple of days. Been on the IR. Holidays took a toll on me. But is usually kind of musings about the world, mostly hockey, but some pop culture takes in between. You can find all of my stats work, the model, all the graphs you see, all of that can be found at my Tableau page, which is easy to access at bit.ly/data dump and chase, all lowercase, all one word. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for the show. For Sarah Avampato, I am Sean O'Brien. And as always, please dump and chase responsibly.